Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's
how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, May 3rd. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air on the Feast of the Apostles, St. Philip and James. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning across America and beyond here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And yes, we can still continue to say Happy Easter here in the fourth week of the 50-day Easter season as we continue to celebrate joyfully the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you to join Father Rocky, Drew Mariani, Patrick Madrid, and thousands of Relevant Radio listeners from all across our country in the upcoming pilgrimage walk to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, which is coming up this Saturday, May 6th. This growing 10th annual 21-mile pilgrimage starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, Wisconsin, and finishes at the only approved Marian apparition site in the U.S., Our Lady of Champion in Champion, Wisconsin. You can walk part of the way or go to distance. The Walk to Mary is coming up Saturday, May 6th. For information and registration, go to walktomary.com. That's walktomary.com. I want to bring in our Morning Air team once again, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines this hour here on this Wednesday morning?
Well, John, folks in the Houston area breathing a little easier today, possibly. A days-long manhunt is over now. Francisco Oropesa taken into custody Tuesday. He's accused of shooting to death neighbors with an AR-15 rifle, we should say. This happened last Friday night. Neighbors said, please stop shooting your gun in your yard. It's keeping the baby awake. He came back to their house later and opened fire. He was found hiding under a pile of laundry, unharmed after a tip that was brought into the FBI.
It's such a shocking story, so senseless. It just doesn't make any sense. This guy was deported four different times. He's a Mexican national, was in the country illegally. One of the victims is a 9-year-old boy, which makes it even sadder. And of course, we've had or heard reports of two women who actually covered their children, covered their bodies, and prevented the children from being shot, and yet they themselves were a part of the victims. They would die, but they saved their children's life, which is exactly what mothers do.
Mothers, fathers, a Christ-like thing to do, to give up one's life for another, and if there can be a silver lining out of that, to see that example of sacrifice in the midst of just cowardly carnage.
Yeah, it's again, every time we hear about these shootings, it is so sad. Meanwhile, Oklahoma has banned trans procedures on kids. That they become the 16th state to enact such protections. The Oklahoma governor, Republican Kevin Stitt, signed the law yesterday protecting children from trans surgeries like elective double mastectomies on minor girls, puberty blockers, and cross-sex hormones. Glenn, I know that the bishops have been quite vocal about this. How did they respond?
The executive director of the Catholic Conference in Oklahoma, Brett Farley, said the bishop's organization commends the governor for adding Oklahoma to the list of states protecting children from what he called these dangerous and irreversible procedures. And so the fight continues, and it's, I hope we don't have the kids caught in the middle, get lost in the midst of that if it gets too politicized. But we need kind of love to be the rule there, love and truth, speaking the truth in love to people dealing with challenges that many of us don't face or have a hard time imagining.
Absolutely. And I think that education and really knowing the facts is such an important part of this issue. On a much lighter note, as Star Wars vanity plates are in the news in the state of Colorado this morning.
That's right. Tomorrow, of course, Star Wars Day, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. That's one of the vanity plates you can get in Colorado. They're auctioning off 12 different Star Wars themed plates, including May 4th, Mr. Vader, Chewie, and my X-Wing. The world of vanity plates. you guys got any of those?
Actually, I do. Full disclosure, I have a vanity plate. Not a Star Wars, but one to honor our Lord. It's Illinois license plate, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And I got to tell you, you know, it's sometimes quite amusing when, you know, people will wave on the highway. Somebody maybe who likes to read the Bible and knows what John 1:1 actually means. It's not about me. It's about our Lord. In the beginning was the Word. And I'll get a thumbs up. And had one guy actually roll down his window. He says, "Hey, great license plate."
Yeah, oh, excellent.
And here I thought, just John thought he was number one, number one. I thought he was double one, but here it had to do with the Bible,
he's
man.
He's number one in our hearts. He's number one in our hearts.
Oh, man. No, but you know what? Who would you love to be the person driving around with a Mr. Vader license plate? I mean, I think you would imagine that he might want to not get in his way as far as road rage is concerned. You don't want any forced chokeholds or your car flipping in midair, any kind of forces used on you. So you might want to keep your distance from that. But that sounds like a lot of fun, having some of those specialized license plates. And especially with that, if you're a Star Wars fan, and there's so many of them out there, that's for sure.
Well, as a Relevant Radio fan, again, and Father Rock, you will love this. I obviously have the Relevant Radio bumper sticker. You got to have one of those. You just never know. Somebody might notice it and then tune in to Relevant Radio, and then the rest is history.
Oh, John, you got it going on there. The only thing I'd say, just with the vanity plates, be careful how you drive. If you're going to make your car more noticeable, it's going to be noticeable to those on the other end of the radar gun, too.
I'm just going to say that. You got to watch out.
Well, I hardly
those flashing lights don't find you.
I hardly ever get pulled over for speeding or anything like that. In fact, one time in the last 10 years, probably. And you know what? I got to believe that the license plate may have been on my side, because the nice police officer let me go.
Well, that could be it. You know, I myself do not have a great track record, so I'm trying to be invisible. I'm trying to get like that gray car that nobody notices, the clunker. Don't look at my car. Keep passing. Pick one of those fast red cars. Don't get me.
All right. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Any sure thing, John.
We start every hour here on Morning Air, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. And as always, you can send us an email directly with any thoughts or any story ideas, morningair@relevantradio.com. If you want to be part of the program this morning, the number is 888-914-9149. Now, for centuries, the saints, the friends of God, have talked about the idea that self-knowledge and self-examination is a key to a relationship with God. In fact, Saint Faustina said, quote, "Knowledge of self is the beginning of wisdom." Saint Teresa of Avila, the great doctor of the church, wrote that the first step in a life of holiness and union with God is self-knowledge. And another doctor of the church, Saint Athanasius, in the early church said, whose feast, by the way, we celebrated just yesterday, he said, "No one can know God without knowing himself." So, what does it really mean to know ourselves? What's preventing us from knowing ourselves, and why is it important to know ourselves? Joining us live is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyon, to discuss self-knowledge and five obstacles that block us from knowing our true selves. Father Tyon is the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. He has served for over a decade in vocation ministry for Our Lady of Providence Seminary while being a chaplain of Bishop Hendricken High School. And of course, he's a longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Tyon. Happy Easter once again. It is a joy to be with you.
Happy Easter, happy springtime, and great to be here and talk about a very relevant topic for every person. I think all of us can sort of be challenged by the topic today of examining oneself. We think of it's really necessary actually to come to know Christ. We have to know who ourselves are, and once we know ourselves in light of Christ through His eyes, we reveal to ourselves. Sometimes, you know, I think a lot of us, all of us, in some way or another, we actually don't know ourselves, and we don't take sort of a true, transparent inventory according to the light of the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, we can almost, this kind of process and journey can help us get to the roots of things we might want to change about ourselves, things that we're aware of, where we need to work on things, but also understanding others more deeply, and especially coming to know the Lord more deeply. If we don't take time to do this, we may just kind of keep so busy or distracted that we may not come to really experience a sort of a kind of a self-awareness conversion. We have conversions to Christ, to the truth, to the faith, but also a self-awareness conversion where we can be exposed to ourselves to see the goodness in us, but also see the places where we need to grow more in our faith and to reflect back to Jesus's gaze of what it is that He would like to see when He looks at us soul to soul, heart to heart, which we all do and can do every day.
Well, Father Tyon, you heard a few of the quotes there that I started with, some pretty famous saints, and all of them basically saying the first step to holiness is self-knowledge. If we want to be united with our Lord, you got to know yourself. Why is it so important for us to know ourselves?
Because then we get the freedom to actually be fully alive in Christ, right? So I think there's two ways we need to do it. The first is seeing our own sins and things, again, seeing ourselves truly and being honest. Sometimes it's hard to admit to ourselves maybe our faults or sins or even to see them, especially if we're not good at doing this. But also, I think, and this is probably the harder one, though the one we'd least go to, is seeing how loved and cherished we are by God the Father, by the gaze of the Father and Christ upon us. And many people know they've sinned, and especially if people have done some kind of more serious mortal sins, they have trouble looking at God. They don't want to look at themselves because they might not be good at seeing the Lord loving them in those places. So this self, if you will, this coming self-knowledge contains both things where we're not well and need to be healed, but also that gaze of God. And I think, honestly, I wouldn't have known this until I was a priest a few years more intently, but I find really, really good people of faith have a hard time doing that, and that's a lack of self-knowledge of who we are in the presence of God. And that is not an easy path to do whatever we want. None of those, in fact, it's the opposite. Once we get the gaze of God, He gives us His mercy in the places we're having trouble looking at or seeing, and then also that hopefulness, that conversion, that change to want to be more like Christ and be less like ourselves affected by original sin. And the great saints, you know, Ignatius of Loyola, of course, perfected this in the best way we can use that word. But his examination of self is really paramount. A lot of people still use that. And many of the saints' writings, their diaries, reveal to us all these different avenues and streets. And you think in life, we're all unique, right? None of us is like another person. So it's important to know that no two of us are alike. So we can help each other, but we exist uniquely in soul and body, and our journey is different. And as everyone knows listening, you know, something can happen and kind of change everything overnight. The death of someone, a struggle at work or at home or with oneself, and life can be very challenging sometimes. But that's why this self-knowledge prepares us for those more difficult moments in life where it might be a shift or a jolt or about someone else. We love not being able to react to that, having a self-knowledge born about doing that in the presence and in front of God with total transparency and vulnerability. So we need to do that. And I think another part here is making sure we find time to do it and silence to do it, right? So we're all living in a very, very noisy world. You know, and I always think you never want anyone to shut off Relevant Radio ever, but you think, what if we, you know, this morning had nothing on in the car at home? We really put ourselves mindfully, soulfully in the presence of God and ask the Lord to show us, to kind of show us where we are on our journey and whatever our vocation might be today. You need to set us some silence. So I think it's hard for us to be quiet today. We're all got so much noise, stimulation, and you see young people always online. Again, you travel in an airport or a train station and no one's talking to each other. The brains are all distracted, and you just pray that some of those apps are like Relevant Radio, or, you know, religious things, or maybe even, you know, they even have examination of consciences online today. It's a place to at least start if we haven't had a good examination about our own lives, even preparing for the sacrament of confession, especially if we're a regular confessor, regular penitent, rather, that can kind of jolt ourselves a little bit by doing a different kind of examination, a self-awareness, and taking some time, almost like a mini retreat. You know, I know some people go on retreat every year, lay people, clergy for sure, but I think sometimes even when you think you don't have time at all because of family life or professional life, they have no time whatsoever to stop, that's a time you really need to stop. Maybe you can go to a local shrine or a daily mass somewhere else, and then go take a walk or a holy hour, and kind of just, that's a retreat. We can kind of do these kind of things, start our way up the mountain of self-knowledge by these short, I call them short retreats, sort of at-home retreats, and really making an intentional, focused, set-aside time for self-awareness, for awareness of Christ, and just to see where we're short or off track and not experiencing the Lord's love. And all these things will help us and help us to be more charitable, more loving, but also receiving more love, which is really what God wants us to do.
And you've already mentioned a few of these obstacles that can block us from knowing ourselves better, of course, in silence and the importance of doing a self-examination. What about, seeing, the flaws in others, in our neighbors, and not noticing it in ourselves?
Yeah, and I think it's something we all struggle with, right? There's certainly things about other people, particularly usually certain people, that really bother us, and especially if we've been hurt by them or failed by them. It's hard, especially I find a lot of people share this in families and things, or relationships, deep friendships that have maybe been in a crisis or had trouble. And those are hard, but we want to be careful. I think we kind of sometimes go right to the hurt or right to the flaw we see in someone, and it's hard, but this is a great way to work on that, I think. And we may, kind of obsessing on someone else's fault or sin can be something maybe in us that we need to see. Why do we always go to this one incident, this one thing, this one hurt around this person? We can ask the Lord to try to heal us from that, but also, might there be some, we never know every circumstance, but might there be some sort of sense of pride or some, that true sense of that definition of that word, that vice, not the one we might think too much about, but really the sense of where is that coming from, and where is that coming from, where's that going, what's its purpose before God? And to do that hard work, we have to sort of operate on ourselves and see. I think we all know the things that bother us about other people, but again, St. Teresa Lisieux, I was at a talk the other day, someone gave to our kids about her frustrations with a sister clicking her teeth that she got sat next to in a chapel, and she would sit down and immediately that would bother her. And then, no time for this program, but St. Therese, good reason she's a saint, she worked on that about herself. So the change became, she ended up sitting there the same clicking teeth person in the chapel every day. But over a course of time, in a very brazen, beautiful, vulnerable self-awareness, that whole noise that she sat next to became something very different in her relationship with God that was not negative. And again, that's the little way of St. Therese, but she's another one. She's sort of an underground, she's a doctor of the church, but she could be a doctor in how we do these kind of things. I think she can help us out to do that. So the saints are great examples for us, and maybe there's just people around us in our lives that have that joy, you know, just that joy of, they're always, seems like they're looking at Jesus during the day. They have this kind of grace to be in, like they're almost in adoration. And when you talk to them, they turn away from Christ to look at us. Their eyes, their face is so joyful because they just have sort of worked on their receiving from the Lord, their self-awareness, and this utter kind of this great interdependence of leaning into God, the providence of God, the gaze of love upon us in God, and then being able to be humble. I think, you know, humility is required to do this. It takes humility and not self-flagellation. That's not humility. You know, we don't want to turn on ourselves, but the opposite, want to be freed from the parts of us that are not with God so God can love us and heal us. And we all have things, every single one of us on this program today has good work to do in this case. None of us is ready yet, perfect. So I think, you know, we think about that, and maybe this springtime, Easter season, Pentecost is coming. You know, I think we're rejoicing in Easter, but that doesn't mean sort of we did all that work in Lent, these sacrifices, but this is even the maturation of our Lent, maybe could be this next step of self-awareness, self-probing, letting Christ probe us, and again, not looking away from the gaze of God and the worst things we've done. That would be, that's a dangerous thing. We want to make sure we get that part right, that we can do that.
Father Tyone, what about the lack of quality time? Not spending enough time with our Lord in his presence, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in Eucharistic adoration. You talk about friends of God. I'm sure all of these saints that we've been talking about, they all spent quality time with our Lord. I think of Bishop Sheen, probably the one that has inspired me the most. The hour of power, he spent an hour every day for most of his life in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and that's where he said he got the power to do what he did as a televangelist.
Sure, that should be everybody's goal. Certainly, you know, even for priests and people that live with tabernacles on their property, we have to find times to do it where people are not there and it's quiet. But that's not always easy for everyone. So sometimes maybe creating a Nazareth, right? Jesus spent most of his time praying in Nazareth, a place if you can't get into a church or you can't get there, hopefully that's the best, or adoration. If you can't get there, creating a place in your home that's a place to really pray and more exclusively for that, you know, and kind of set that up so that's your place to at least go pray in the house. You have a place. If you don't have a chapel, of course, the church is preferable. The sacraments are preferable, adoration. But if you can't, find a place. Put that great chair in the right spot, in the right room where you get the best solitude, and just to be there with the Lord. And it's almost, if you have that spot, it's sort of your consecrated place in your house. And do your best to do that. If you don't have that already, I think that's a critical place to start. And then, of course, making time to do visits to tabernacles and certainly adoration and doing that. And again, some people live far from churches and there aren't many of those opportunities. And other people are just, you know, if you live in a city or a blessed place with an unlocked church all day like we have, then you can do it. But do our best to be creative and do that. But the Holy Spirit's right in our home. He's right with you right now and wants to speak to you and kind of reveal ourselves to ourselves to heal, to help, and to be merciful to us.
Well, this is a fascinating topic. I really appreciate your perspective, Father Tyone. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short time out when Morning Air continues. Our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will join us to talk about thinking wrong and how it harms your ability to be productive. So stay with us. We're headed down the stretch on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Wednesday, the Feast of the Apostles, St. Philip and James. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Luke 10:16. Jesus the Lord said to his disciples, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Our Catholic faith is apostolic. In fact, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, no one can ever replace the witness of the apostles as the chosen witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. We must follow the teaching of the apostles, which continues today in the Catholic Church through the successor of Peter and the bishops, the successors of the apostles. As our Lord Jesus Christ taught, "Whoever listens to you listens to me." If we reject the church, we actually reject Christ himself. We always pray with great confidence that prayer that Drew Mariani prays every day from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, it's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. And as always, if you want to send us an email with your thoughts or any story ideas that you might want to share with us, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, sometimes the way that we think can be an impediment to being productive and successful in life. Let's see what Scripture says. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our way to look at things could be so narrow and perhaps so focused on us that we're unable to see a greater sense of reality and a greater sense of our own community, the people that we actually live with or that perhaps that we work with. Joining us live from Fort Myers, Florida, is our longtime Morning Air contributor and personal success coach, Dave Duran, to talk about thinking wrong and how it harms your ability to be productive. Dave is an author, professional speaker, and executive coach. He's the co-founder and executive chairman of Best Version Media and founder of Lighthouse Catholic Media and DE Media. You can follow Dave Duran on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Good morning, Dave. Thanks again for joining us. It's always great to be with you on another Wednesday morning.
Hey, John. Great to be with you. Yeah, there's so many interesting things about the way we think, isn't there?
Without a doubt. And that's why, you know, as I was thinking about this topic, I thought of, well, what does Scripture say? And, you know, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he beeth," is the verse that came to me. And I think there's so much truth to that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, sadly, many people are taught to think wrong throughout their life. And, you know, this is actually happening and dare I say, pandemic ways right now. But it has also happened at many different times in life where it's more or less that people are malformed from a collective perspective. But usually this happens in your own home too, with how are you taught to think? What are the examples that you see? Who do you associate with? And these things really do matter when a person is trying to build self-agency in life. And the term self-agency I really like because, you know, self-agency is not to say that you're entirely self-made or you do everything yourself, you're not reliant on God. It's not that mentality that a lot of people have when they talk about the self-made man, right? Self-agency is to say that what power I do have according to who I am and what God has given me, that I will use, that I will not shirk to somebody else. So we need to maximize our self-agency.
Well, when I think about our thoughts and thinking correctly, I go back to, you know, when I was a young guy, I was a big fan of Zig Ziglar, the famous motivational speaker who used to say the phrase, you know, "We must avoid stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes." And I always got a kick out of that, but it made so much sense. Stinking thinking.
Oh yeah, he was a classic one for the good old sayings like check up from neck up and all that kind of stuff. No doubt about it.
Dave, how can our thoughts limit us in life?
Well, there are five things that I've identified for this. There are more, but the first one that I find to be unbelievably destructive. It can be even destructive, you know, for our eternal lives, but temporally it is very much so too, and that is, I want to believe what I want to believe. This is one of the most intellectually silly concepts on planet Earth. Now, if a person says, I want to believe what I want to believe, but I won't believe it if it's wrong, that's fine. That's an emotional thing. I want to believe what I want to believe too, okay? But it doesn't change reality. And what people do, though, is they pick churches and religions according to wanting to believe what they want to believe. They follow the latest fads of people who misguide so many different people, right down to this whole gender craziness. I just want to believe what I want to believe. Yeah, but none of it is supported with reality. So if you want to believe you can fly and you jump off a building, you have big trouble ahead of you. How about let's believe what is true? So wrong thinking is I want to believe what I want to believe. Right thinking is I want to believe what is true. And if a person pursues what is true, not only is it the transcendentals, right? What is good, true, and beautiful, that draws our hearts up. It raises us. It inspires us. It makes us enthusiastic for what is truly good. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And frankly speaking, if you want to believe what you want to believe, you are very, very disinclined to pursue Christ because there's a cross involved in that.
Yeah, this whole notion of it's my truth versus your truth, and I want to believe my truth. It reminds me of Bishop Sheen, who used to say a long time ago, the truth is the truth even if nobody believes it, and error is an error even if everybody believes it. And I think that is a prophetic statement.
Yeah, and people get silly about this truth thing. They say, well, my truth is... John, my truth about you is you don't like tomatoes. Well, what a ridiculous idea. No, if you like tomatoes, my truth about you is literally just entirely error. The concept is silly. It's almost difficult to debate the idea of I want to believe what I want to believe and that I can have my own truth. You can definitely have your own opinion. Okay. And you can have something that's true about you. I like tomatoes. That could be true about me. But if you said Dave doesn't like tomatoes, your truth about me liking tomatoes can't possibly be true because I like tomatoes. And people just are afraid to break it down that way. And when you've been absolutely infiltrated by people with bad intentions or are utterly misled themselves who try to penetrate into your life that you can create your own truths, this is not a friendly idea. Now, whether their intentions are nefarious or not, the outcomes still are. And frankly speaking, it is either directly cruel to teach a person to think this way, or it is inadvertently cruel. But either way, if a person goes through life believing this can actually be any form of function, it cannot be, and it needs to be ferreted out. And that's why people who believe this way should never be in charge of anything ever at any time. A person who believes that way is utterly ill-equipped to be in charge of anything, let alone their own lives. It is, we have freedoms in this world and as Christians, so they will be in charge of their own lives, but they should be in charge of anybody else's.
All right, I got an example for you. My wife packs a banana with my lunch every morning. And if I decided that this is no longer a banana, it's an orange, even if a million people agree with me that it's an orange, they're all wrong. It's still a banana.
Yeah, it's true. But John, the crazy thing about this is that there would be people right now vehemently arguing with us, as much as the majority of the audience here at Relevant Radio would be going, yes, why do they keep saying this? Well, there is a massive now, unfortunately, massive portion of the world who would, particularly in the United States, because of the, you know, higher laugh education systems out there, who would be vehemently fighting with you, telling you that you are absolutely wrong, that you can make it an orange if you want to make it an orange, because to you it's an orange, therefore it's an orange. And they are so hardwired to think wrong that you would listen to this silly debate. And so I guess this is one of the reasons that this topic is here right now, is because this isn't a whimsical, minor sort of thing where only a few people are thinking in this silly fashion. And so we're bringing it up just as a straw man in order to argue against something ridiculous. No, this is absolutely happening. So we need to make sure that when we're in charge of forming a young person, whether it's in education, particularly at home, in the church, that we point out these silly ideas and we do discuss them, so that when somebody comes along typically speaking, at any age, but oftentimes when they are now 18 and they're paying, you know, $550,000 to be miseducated, that they recognize how silly the idea is and they don't succumb to it.
Our world has gone bananas, no pun intended. The sky is green, the grass is blue to so many folks. Which leads us to a second way of thinking wrong, Dave.
So this is another one. People say, I go where they believe what I want to believe. Now, this again is wrong thinking. Now, it's not always wrong in that what you want to believe also happens to be true, or you are an artist and you just want to be around people who like to think about contemporary art because that's what you do. That's fine. These are subjective things, not objective things. But when people say, I go where they believe what I want to believe, people pick churches this way all the time. They don't pick churches based on the truth. They have a certain way that they want to live. Usually it's tied to sin. There are certain sins that they like. And so they say, I'm going to go to this church, which, by the way, will not, they either teach that this sin is okay, or that it doesn't matter. For example, once saved, always saved. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you sin. And the argument is deeper than that. People in once saved, always saved will say things like, well, if they do sin that way, then they weren't actually saved, which is a whole conundrum. Anyway, figure out.
But it's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show, right? And you have better, more qualified people to talk about it than me. But the idea, though, is that we need to go where we can be productive according to the gifts that we are given. Because if we want to just go where we want to believe something, well, what if I want to believe that laziness is the best thing in the world and that I should sleep in until 11 o'clock and then just have a beer for breakfast? That's not good. I actually want to go where the people I am with help form me as I help form them into a better person so that I can ultimately become a saint. And this is a most important thing to do. Don't go where they just simply believe what you want to believe. Go where they want to believe what is true and you want to pursue it with them.
Amen. I want to invite our listeners. We're taking your calls for Dave Duran. If you want to share any thoughts or inspirations that you might have about thinking wrong, perhaps this whole idea of my truth versus your truth and how it can actually harm your ability to be productive. If you want to be part of our conversation with Dave Duran, the number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Executive Coach Dave Duran. Stay with us. There is more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
Again, 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of our discussion, we're talking about thinking wrongly and how it harms your ability to be productive. If any thoughts that you want to share with us, with our personal success coach, Dave Duran, the co-founder and executive chairman of Best Version Media. Fascinating conversation. And we started talking about, you know, how you can't just say, I want to believe what I want to believe. And so, Dave, let's continue. I know this is something that you yourself have thought about. What is the third way of thinking that is wrong?
Yeah, and John, this is important too. This comes from building many companies and, you know, with as many as a few hundred thousand people in them over the years, and watching certain people in those companies be able to keep up and advance and lead other people and manage their lives effectively and others struggle. Not to mention just, you know, being a regular guy in the world with a lot of kids and everything else too. You see these things. But here's another one. It doesn't matter to me, so it doesn't matter. This is a mentality that you see that is really very destructive, in that people have a hard time finding value, okay, in other people's opinions. And to say, well, you know, just something as silly as being on time. Being on time is not that important to me. What does it matter? What does it matter if you're 5 minutes late? Well, what if it really matters to the people around you? okay? Or what if the profession that you're in makes it really matter, and you happen to be married to a person in that profession, or dating a person in that profession, or an assistant to that person in the profession, and it doesn't matter to you, so you always look at this person who needs to be on time and say, you know, you need to relax. Why does it matter? It's just that person is in a position where it does matter. And even if they personally didn't care about it, there would be consequences to them being late. And your laissez-faire attitude, because this is important to you, is very painful to people around you. It's not just about that, too. There are other things related to this, but that's a good example of many other things.
There was a fellow named Thomas who dialed in during the break. He couldn't stay with us, but he wanted to know about, you know, evolution of thought. You know, can things progress and therefore, you know, I guess it's a question about the reality of objective truth. Can objective truth actually change?
Great question. It cannot, but it can be understood at a further level. So you can actually believe something that is not true because you are pursuing the truth, and your perception of those things happens to be one way. But once you discover further that it is actually true, you evolve your thinking, but the truth itself didn't evolve. Our understanding of air itself, of bacteria itself, of microbiology or quantum physics, these are things that, you know, didn't change. They have been there. They have always been there. And even if certain principles in these sorts of things themselves migrate because of expansion or certain scientific realities, it doesn't change their objective reality. It just gets us to understand them as they move. So these things are really important to understand. There is not such a thing as evolution of truth. There is an evolution of our understanding of truth. Now, it could be that, you know, while we live in a world of gravity, that some massive cosmic thing changes gravity, and now the new truth is that gravity is different, certainly, but that wouldn't change the past or the history or anything else. So this is a very, very, very important concept. The people that believe that, like, human nature in particular can evolve don't understand human nature itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of the objective truth that 2 and 2 equals 4. It will never equal 5, even if 100 million people disagree.
Yeah. And by the way, I've been in that actual conversation, John, with people from Berkeley that actually will argue with you that you are wrong and you are closed-minded and that it can equal more than 4, particularly if a person feels like 2 plus 2 should be different than 4. Why can't they have their truth? And they literally will argue that vehemently. And it is, and we are not talking about people who don't have at least an educational pedigree. They certainly are not educated. They've been diseducated through an educational system. They have been made ignorant through a big, long time of effort and finance. But they actually have degrees that have taught them how to not think.
All right. I'm amazing. Let's talk about the fourth way of wrong thinking.
Okay. The fourth way of wrong thinking is people who like things I don't like are weird, wrong, and bizarre. Now, there is such a thing as beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That is true about a lot of different types of things. But there is an objectivity to beauty. That is to say, nobody says, I hate sunsets because they're ugly. I looked over the ocean and I thought it was disgusting. I mean, obviously it's polluted, but that's an objective form of, we all think a polluted ocean is ugly. We think a clean ocean is beautiful. There are universal realities about beauty, which is why certain people are so beautiful that they sell millions and millions of copies of anything they're on, because universally people find them beautiful. Now, somebody might find somebody else more attractive than this person, than that person, but still they're going to put them in the category of, yes, beautiful for the most part. We also have to understand that the more that we raise our hearts to God, the more that we are attracted to authentic beauty. So this is why you see people who are even like Satanists and whatnot are attracted to very, very ugly things. because they're not seeking what is good, true, and beautiful. And the more that they may have a conversion, they start to seek things of greater beauty. And like the same as a person has a fall, they start to be more and more attracted to things that are ugly. And so we have to recognize that, sure, while there might be certain realities like that, there's also just a massive middle ground. The massive middle ground is that you like Olive Garden and I like Chipotle and you happen to like an SUV and I like a sports car and whatnot. And people are like, well, that's stupid. Why would anyone like that? Why would anyone like that color? You know, and they become so close-minded that they now put like almost a moral or value judgment on the human being for simply having different tastes than them. As opposed to saying, I'm a human being who has particular tastes, and God made me, and the Holy Spirit gives us this gift of being very, very different in these different tastes and what we like. And isn't it great that I can celebrate the idea that this person enjoys different food than I do, and that makes the world whole, and that I like different food than they do, and we can get to know each other through these differences, as opposed to literally going, you're weird, that's crazy, you're wrong for liking the taste of that particular soup.
Great explanation there, Dave. The final way of wrong thinking that we're going to talk about here this morning.
It's always been this way, so it should always be this way. Now, here's an interesting thing. Sometimes that's true, but oftentimes it's very destructive thinking. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about an objective, moral, intrinsic reality and truth? Yeah, then it's got to stay that way. Or there are certain traditions that hold value for institutions, for companies, for countries, nations, that, yeah, without these traditions, without these things that we've always done this way in order to keep ourselves knowing where we came from, those things need to stay that way. But there are other things that need to evolve. I mean, simply need to evolve. And you're a fan of Zig Ziglar. Do you know his famous story of this? It's that the little girl is with the mom, and she's going to make a ham. She cuts the end off the ham. She puts it in the pot. And the child says to the mom, why'd you do that? Why do you cut the end off the ham? She goes, you always cut the end off the ham. And she goes, well, why? I don't know. Let me call my mom. She calls her mom and says, hey, mom, why do you cut the end off the ham when you put it in the pot? She goes, well, you always cut the end off the ham. She goes, well, why? She goes, you know what? Let me call my mom. She calls her mom. She says, mom, why do we cut the end off the ham before we put it in the pot? And she goes, well, because it doesn't fit in my pot. So oftentimes, we just do things because somebody did them without thinking about why we're doing them, and that might need to change.
Reminds me of the old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. So
right?
Correct thinking is super important.
Absolutely super important to rewire ourselves where we've been wired wrong.
Fascinating conversation, as always, Dave. I really appreciate all of your keys here this morning, and always appreciate your perspective. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, John.
Dave Duran, our executive coach and the co-founder and executive chairman of Best Version Media. You can find Dave on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And now it is yet time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called In His Mother's Footsteps by Davida Dalton. It was a busy day in our Costa Mesa, California home, but then with 10 children and one on the way, every day was a bit hectic. On this particular day, however, I was having trouble doing even routine chores, all because of one little boy. Len, who was 3 at the time, was on my heels no matter where I went. Whenever I stopped to do something and turned back around, I'd trip over him. Several times, I patiently suggested fun activities to keep him occupied. Wouldn't you like to play on the swing set, I asked again. But he simply smiled an innocent smile and said, oh, that's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be in here with you. Then he continued to bounce happily along behind me. After stepping on his toes for the 5th time, I began to lose my patience and insisted that he go outside and play with the other children. When I asked him why he was acting this way, he looked up at me with those sweet green eyes and said, well, Mommy, in primary, my teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps. But I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours. I gathered Len in my arms and I held him close. Tears of love and humility spilled over from the prayer that grew in my heart, a prayer of thanks, with the simple yet beautiful perspective of a 3-year-old boy. This experience has served as a reminder to me of the vital role of a mother. While it is sobering to realize that I'm a crucial link between my children and the Savior, I need to remember that since a mother is a co-partner with God, I'm in a position to receive guidance from one who truly cares and wants all of us to walk in His heavenly footsteps. Mark 10:15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Appreciate it here in this month of mothers and the month of our Blessed Mother Mary. Pray and watch the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky tonight at 7 p.m. Central and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Wednesday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Thursday on the next edition of Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is up next.